It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Wolf Banesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday. Welcome on in. Hope your day's going well. Hope you have an outstanding weekend. I don't know how you couldn't. Week 2 of college football, week 3 of high school football, and week 1 of the NFL. All of it is finally here. Cue the music. It's the most wonderful time of the year. As far as I, and I'm a big baseball fan, you guys know that. But man, this is just, it's the television, the games to watch, it's just unmatched. And of course, with baseball still going on, I mean, by all means, it's just the pocket in the sports calendar as far as yours truly is concerned. But thanks for being here, however you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter or on X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, at 1650KCNZ. I'm on X at RealColeBear. And like our Facebook page, if you're on the Zuck machine, type in 1650thefan. You'll find us. Hammer that like button. You'll get more local and statewide sports in your Facebook feed. What's not to like? Check out the website, bookmark it, as a matter of fact, 1650thefan.com. That's where all of the local and statewide sports content finds its way. Also, the podcast of this show, all sorts of other audio on demand is there. If you're looking to get set for week 3 of the high school football season, specific to Metro football, then you might want to check out the Coach's Huddle podcast. Of course, Mark Simpson joined every Wednesday night during the football season by the four Metro High School football coaches at Pepper's Grill and Sports Pub, and we podcast it. It's among the many things available at the website, 1650thefan.com. If you want to weigh in on a football Friday, dial me up with any questions or comments, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or 800-913-9479. Or you can email the show, email address, cole@1650thefan.com. Have been getting some emails from you guys out there. And Juan had emailed the show saying, hey, went 1-1 last weekend. And he is picking, what did Juan have here? Let me see here, make sure I get, he emailed me a few times today. What did he have here? He's got you and I at home and Iowa on the road at Jack Trice Stadium. Is that where you all would land? The Hawkeyes going to be able to go to Jack Trice and win that game? And then the Panthers going to be able to take care of business against a 12th-ranked Weber State team in their home opener, of course, at the Unidome tomorrow. We'll talk more about that today on the show. If you want to hear a good you and I Weber State breakdown, Ethan Petrick of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier joined me yesterday on the show. So that podcast available at the website, of course, 1650thefan.com, if you want to check that out at some point before kickoff at the Unidome for tomorrow. But today, as far as today is concerned, of course, we'll get to area sports news and scores for your Friday here in just a few short moments. After we're done there, we take timeout number one, and get you a VSiN action update, a national sports update, and a forecast for the rest of this beautiful Friday, looking into tomorrow and Sunday. We come back in the second segment, and my colleague Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette does an outstanding job covering Iowa State football. Rob will join the show to preview tomorrow's Cy-Hawk game. Make sure you follow him on X at Rob W. Gray. We'll come back after we're done talking Cy-Hawk with Rob. We'll take the time out near the bottom of the hour. Get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim and come back in that third segment. And Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast will join the show. Follow him on X at Logan_Blackman. We'll, of course, talk a little bit about last night's NFL season opener, the Detroit Lions. 21-20 over the Kansas City Chiefs, the defending Super Bowl champions. Of course, that game for the Chiefs headlined by tight end Travis Kelce, defensive tackle Chris Jones, both being out of the game for an injury and a contract dispute. And then, of course, this Kansas City wide receiver core that's just hasn't quite been the same ever since Tyreek Hill left. But Patrick Mahomes is so good that as long as he's got Travis Kelce and some other guys that are decent to just, you know, good, he's proven he can win another Super Bowl like he did last year. But last night, ball goes off Kadarius Toney's hands, goes the other way for a touchdown on a pick six. That proves to be the difference in the game. So it does make you wonder at some point. I think, for one, just how fluid is the depth chart in Kansas City with their wide receiver room. They got a lot of young guys, athletic guys that they like, but nobody who's really that proven veteran that you look at and go, oh, should be in the Pro Bowl. So maybe they make a move at some point. But then again, you know, you had a guy like DeAndre Hopkins who was out there in free agency, and they opted not to try to sign him. So it's hard for me to feel, you know, sorry for the Chiefs. Sorry for the defending Super Bowl champions. And then it was great to see last night. Jack Campbell got some play last night and made a really nice pass breakup in the second half of that game. Really cool to see him out there. And, man, I know the Lions have been a trendy pick in what is a wide-open NFC North. Of course, being a Bears fan, I'd like to think my Bears could, you know, get in that 8-10 win range. But, hell, I don't know. I don't know if they've got enough juice this year to go from 3 wins to 8-10. I really don't. They'll just wait and see. But I don't know. I haven't quite been able to get there on saying, well, the Lions are definitely the team to win that division. So Vikings, Packers, Lions, Bears, I think any of those four teams could win the NFC North. They really do. I really do. So we'll see how it plays out, but when Logan joins us, we'll talk about the NFL, what he's most looking forward to in Week 1, of course, besides his Bills going to New Jersey to take on the New York Jets on Monday night, as Josh Allen will face off against Aaron Rodgers in his debut as a Jet. We will get Logan's college football Week 2 games to watch outside of course, Iowa taking on Iowa State, you and I taking on Weber State. What other games, when you're going to be, you know, firing up TV2 or once the Panthers, Cyclones, and Hawkeyes have played their games, what games are out there that you might want to watch or, you know, record on the DVR? Logan always delivers as far as that is concerned when he joins the show. We'll, of course, talk Iowa State, Iowa with Logan. We'll talk UNI Weber State with him, and we'll make our picks of the weekend. I've got 4 of them down here. I would have stayed at 3, but I felt like I was obligated. I feel like I'm obligated to make a pick for Iowa, Iowa State, so I will make a pick. I think it's a coin flip game. I said that, I don't know if it was yesterday on the show or not, but I do feel like it will be a coin flip. It sets up like a coin flip game. It's really hard for me to say that one team has a distinct advantage after evaluating Week 1 and evaluating everything else leading up to the season and what you have to go off of last season. But if you feel any different, dial me up, 319-277-1918 or 800-913-9479 or email me, cole@1650thefan.com. Would very much enjoy to get your email and see your picks and your thoughts about the Cy-Hawk game. So that's the plan. After we're done with Logan, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time on a Friday for the week and wrap up the show. So let's just go ahead and dive right in here. Area sports news and scores for your Friday. Last night, pair of eight-player games taking place, one involving a Metro team, one an area team. Waterloo Christian fell to Lansing Key 67-0, and 8th-ranked Don Bosco rolled past Riceville with a second-half surge 42-6. Meanwhile, week three of the high school football season kicks off in earnest tonight. This evening's games in the Metro, Waterloo West plays at Davenport Central. It's going to be the first ever matchup between the Wahawks and Blue Devils. Waterloo East is at home against Charles City. The Trojans are looking to win back-to-back games for the first time since the 2019 season. In Class 1A, 7th-ranked Waterloo Columbus hosts West Branch. Sailors are looking to avenge a pair of losses to the Bears last season. And, of course, the 5th-ranked Cedar Falls Tigers on the road at Ankeny Centennial. It's going to be the fourth meeting between the two schools in the last three seasons. You can hear all the coverage of the Tigers taking on Ankeny Centennial tonight on Cruisin' KCFI, 1250 AM, 105.1 FM. You can download the Cruisin' KCFI app or tell your smart speaker to play Cruisin' KCFI and take the Tigers with you wherever you are tonight. Pre-game coverage begins around 7, kickoff at 7:30. In high school football games tonight involving area-ranked teams in Class 3A, 6th-ranked Independence plays at Waukon. 4th-ranked 1A schools in action. Top-ranked Grundy Center plays host to Pella Christian. 8th-ranked Dyke New Hartford has a home game against Osage. 9th-ranked Denver at North Fayette Valley. And 10th-ranked Sumner Fredericksburg travels to Owine. And finally, 8-player top-ranked Gladbrook Rhinebeck visits Meskwaki Settlement. The Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union has released its latest volleyball rankings, and in Class 5A, Cedar Falls is 6th. In 3A, Union is 5th. In 2A, Dyke New Hartford remains top-ranked. Grundy Center is 3rd, Sumner Fredericksburg 4th, Denver 5th, Applington Parkersburg is 12th, and Wapsie Valley is 14th. Finally, in 1A, Don Bosco is 10th, and Gladbrook Rhinebeck is 12th. Busy day of college football tomorrow. Just to get you the details once more, Iowa and Iowa State meet for the 70th time in the annual Cy-Hawk game. This year's contest taking place at Jack Trice Stadium in Ames. The Cyclones won last year's game 10-7 in Iowa City. And you can hear that game right here on your official station for Cyclone Nation, 1650 The Fan. Pre-game begins at 12:30 tomorrow, kickoff at 2:30. And then, of course, the UNI Panthers home opener against 12th-ranked Weber State at the Unidome. Panthers looking to bounce back after the loss at Iowa State last week. Kickoff at the Dome is at 4. You can hear that game on our Koloff Media Station, 93.5 The Mix. And that's going to be a 3 o'clock pregame. 3rd-ranked Wartburg is going to be tested. The Knights play at 16th-ranked Bethel. Kickoff of that game is at 1. Speaking of the Iowa football team, it received a verbal commitment from one of the top players in the state recently. Cedar Rapids Kennedy offensive tackle Nick Brooks announced his commitment to Iowa today. Brooks is a 6'8", 350-pound junior, and he is a four-star prospect per 24/7 Sports, the number 12 offensive tackle nationally in the 2025 class and the top player for the Hawks in that 2025 class that they have so far. The UNI volleyball team rallied from a 2-1 deficit to defeat TCU in 5 sets at the Texas A&M Invitational yesterday. Kira Fallert had another strong showing for the Panthers, 20 kills and 23 digs. With the win, UNI raised its record to 4-3 on the season. Pre-game coverage beginning in a minute on our Koloff Media Station, 106.5 Corn Country, as the Panthers continue tournament action, taking on host school Texas A&M. First serve is at 5:30 on Corn Country. The UNI women's soccer team grabbed a 3-1 win at South Dakota yesterday. The Panthers picked up a pair of goals in the second half to break a 1-1 halftime tie. With the win, the Panthers improved their record to 6-0-1 and extend their unbeaten streak to a program-best 7 matches. All right, let's take this time out to get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Friday, looking into tomorrow and Sunday. We'll come back on the other side. We'll break it down. Cy-Hawk, Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette joins us next right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Beyer.
At the U.S. Open men's semifinal action, and second seed Novak Djokovic is up 2-0 on unseeded American Ben Shelton, currently playing in the third set where Djokovic has a 6-5 lead and is serving for the match. Winner of this match will face Carlos Alcaraz or Daniil Medvedev in the final on Sunday, as that semifinal match will take place later on tonight. Day baseball saw the Diamondbacks drop the Cubs 1-0. Dodgers pitcher Walker Buehler is not going to play for the team this season as he continues to rehab from Tommy John surgery. 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa will be available Sunday against the Steelers. He will be in action after ending his holdout this week, signing a contract that made him the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. Niners tight end George Kittle is considered questionable for the game with a quad injury. Ravens tight end Mark Andrews questionable against the Texans because of a quad issue. Giants host the Cowboys and Darren Waller, their new tight end, questionable to play because of a strained hamstring.
Log on and listen online at 1650thefan.com, the online home of 1650 The Fan. Get maximum sports on 1650 The Fan.
Cooper's Tap Room at the bottom of College Hill in Cedar Falls is now open. And as soon as you step foot inside, you'll see that Cooper's Tap Room is not your usual College Hill bar, as it offers a wide array of ice-cold tap beers, signature and seasonal drinks, a delectable, unique menu, and the environment you desire with TVs all around and the feel of a longtime local establishment. Find out more at cooperstaproom.com or by following them on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, or Twitter.
The National Cattle Congress Fair is happening September 20th through the 24th. It's fun for the whole family. There'll be food trucks, carnival rides, livestock exhibits, an expo hall, and more. Ride your motorcycle to the fair Thursday for Bike Night. And who could forget this year's Fair Concert Series? The Fair Concert Series features Not Quite Brothers on Thursday, free with gate admission. Country superstars Tracy Lawrence and Chris Cagle perform Friday. Everclear with the Alteras and the Pink Spiders on Saturday. And Christian artist Benjamin William Hastings on Sunday. Brought to you by Waterloo Warehousing, Bill Cowell Ford, and Bush Resource and Recovery. Make sure to purchase your concert tickets now. Buy your Super Pass for $30 and receive admission all 5 days of the fair. Purchase your Super Passes, fair tickets, and concert tickets by visiting NationalCattleCongress.com. Come celebrate 113 years of the National Cattle Congress Fair. September 20th through the 24th. It's everyone's fair.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Unlike other credit cards that decline sports betting transactions or treat them as a cash advance, the GBank Visa Signature Card can load directly to your favorite sportsbook apps. G.Bank/VSiN.
The NFL began on Thursday night with the Detroit Lions upset the Kansas City Chiefs 21-20 at Arrowhead Stadium, but the Chiefs are still the betting favorite to win Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas. Kansas City plus 700 to repeat as champions, while the Philadelphia Eagles, the team they beat in Super Bowl 57, is plus 800 to claim the Vince Lombardi Trophy. The Buffalo Bills, the second best bet out of the AFC at plus 900, San Francisco and Cincinnati both plus 1,000, and the Dallas Cowboys are plus 1,300 to win the Super Bowl. With your VSiN Action Update, I'm Tony Desiri, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Clear skies tonight with a low of 52. East winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear tomorrow, highs around 81. Overcast skies tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered thunderstorms, lows around 59. Mid-70s Sunday with a chance for scattered storms. Cooler Monday with highs in the low 70s and showers possible. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 79.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
Yeah, a lot of ways to listen to all of our programming. When it comes to wanting to listen to the Cy-Hawk game tomorrow, and you're on the go, you can listen on the app and on our stream at 1650thefan.com or Tell your smart speaker to play 1650 The Fan. You just got to be in a 75-mile radius of Cedar Falls. Don't ask me why I don't make the rules, but those are the rules. Nonetheless, we've got the guy, Rob Gray, my colleague at the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Follow him on X at Rob W. Gray, and he's here to break down the Cy-Hawk game. Of course, we both took in the Cyclones' 30-9 win over the UNI Panthers a week ago, and it was great to see you there, Rob, and be able to talk about that game in person and shake your hand, and thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, great to finally meet you too, Cole. I mean, we've never been face-to-face, and we've had many, many radio conversations, so yeah, definitely a pleasure to shake your hand as well.
Well, let it be known that the day that I showed up, Iowa State's special teams turned around, Rob.
Yeah, I hesitate to call that a coincidence, but I guess if as a person who subscribes to science, I would have to say it is a coincidence. But nonetheless, it is a happy coincidence from a Cyclone perspective, for sure.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing: I've talked plenty this week on the show about what I saw in Ames as far as the Panthers and Cyclones are concerned. So let's really focus in on tomorrow's Cy-Hawk game. And I suppose, Rob, I know you also do work for Cyclone Fanatic, which is so engaged with the Iowa State fan base. As far as Twitter or X is concerned, that kind of is what it is. But, I mean, for what it might be worth, what's the vibe, if you're getting any, from the respective fan bases ahead of tomorrow's game? Because I've been saying probably since about early in the week on, like, Tuesday, it just feels like a coin flip game. Call me a fence rider, but I think this looks like a coin flip game.
Well, I absolutely think it's a coin flip game, and let's prove it otherwise. I mean, Iowa State has yet to play a clean football game against Iowa in the Matt Campbell era. Mm-hmm. I mean, they finally broke the six-game losing streak last season, despite three turnovers and two blocked punts, which was remarkable. 99-yard drive. Almost 12 minutes, 21 plays, one of the most iconic drives in program history. So I think what that game showed and what most of the games before and probably forthcoming will show is a lot of unexpected is going to be on display, and which means my prediction of a very tight coin flip game like yours may go awry. But it just, on paper, those defenses, they're just too good. But,
yeah,
you know, we'll see what happens, I guess.
I would say this, though, Rob, and I know this can rub Cyclones fans the wrong way, but for what it's worth on a one-game sample size from Iowa State last week, I feel like this game is bigger for Iowa State, strictly when you're talking about the path toward six wins and bowl eligibility.
Yeah, there's no question about that, especially after last season. You get the 3-0 start. I apologize for that going off. I'm actually doing the interview in my car because it's my daughter's 18th birthday dinner coming up in about 20 minutes.
Nice. You're
hearing a little ding from messages. But so, again, apologies for that. But it's absolutely crucial for them because they've got to show that they can turn around those things like special teams and offensive struggles, red zone struggles in particular, turnover struggles that really cost them last season going 4-8 and losing all those one-score games, all been well-documented. Iowa's got a lot to look forward to in this Big Ten West race. You know, Cade McNamara banged up. Is he a guy? You know, they got to think long haul for him. So I think very much more a game that means more to Iowa State, as you said, Cole. I mean, not always, but in terms of this season and you know, trying to get back to bowl eligibility, I think you're right on there.
Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, our guest right now on this Friday edition of Cole & Company. Follow him on X at Rob W. Gray, breaking down tomorrow's Cy-Hawk game, pregame at 12:30, kickoff at 2:30 here on The Fan. Matt Campbell always plays it so close to the vest. So whether it was Coach Campbell or maybe more likely, Rob, any players you were able to speak to this week, was there anything in terms of the media availability this week that stuck out?
No, very much. Close to the best is a good descriptive. The usual, very staid. Hey, we've got a lot of respect for them. They did call the team Iowa instead of those guys out east, which I know was somewhat of a gig after Brian Ferentz had called them, whatever it was, the people in Ames. I can't remember what the whole thing was going back. But, you know, I know there's mutual respect between Coach Campbell and Coach Campbell wants to win the same way that Kirk Ferentz and Iowa football has wanted to win for decades, and that's run the football and put a defense out there that is going to force teams to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And you win close games. You know, that formula went awry for the Cyclones last year. It's been better maintained by the Hawkeyes, obviously. And, you know, no bulletin board material. I mean, Rocco Beck did refer to it as the fan Super Bowl. So whenever you hear the Super Bowl, I know the alarm bells go off for some in each fan base. But, yeah, very, very subdued. I mean, I'd say they feel confident. But, again, one-game sample size for great special teams play versus a lot showing a lot of aspects of special teams being a problem. You know, they've got a lot to prove still in that regard and in terms of being efficient offensively.
Rob, when you mention the blueprint for this game, that both teams want to run the ball, they want to play great defense, play great in the third phase on special teams, control the ball and win that way, it makes me think about, okay, well, what might be the separator? Because you can hang your hat, basically, on both of these secondaries, Iowa and Iowa State's. I think they both probably fall within the top 15, if not the top 10 secondaries in the country, the Hawks and Cyclones. So it makes me think, okay, which D-line is going to be able to cause the most havoc? And albeit it was an FCS opponent in UNI, but I thought that Iowa State defensive line, and important to mention, maybe even most important, John Haycock dialing up some blitzes last week. I'm going to be keeping a close eye on that in this game. Can these younger Iowa State defensive linemen make noise for a second week in a row? And is John Haycock as aggressive with the blitzes this week?
Yeah, it's all going to depend on that defensive line and really front seven. We know Iowa's is always really, really good. Iowa State's the last several seasons has been really, really good. But when you graduate at Will McDonald, the first round draft pick in 50 years for Iowa State, breaking the longest drought for FBS schools. You got MJ Anderson, he really flashed last season. You know, lost Isaiah Lee with the whole gambling probe, who is at least going to provide good depth as a returning starter there. And other guys, I mean, a lot of new faces, not all of them. I mean, Dom Orange really burst onto the scene last season at nose and did a lot of good things. He's trimmed down 15 pounds. I saw he, of course, blew up that first play and went in and knocked Theo Day's helmet off, kind of setting the tone last Saturday in 30-9 win over the Panthers. He's going to be key. If he can disrupt that interior of the line, Tyler O'Neill can play inside or outside. He had 7 tackles in the first half, which is odd to see from a defensive lineman, before cramping up and playing fairly sparingly after that. But, you know, Iowa's almost always a lead up front, even though they're missing a guy.
Yeah.
Their linebackers, even though they're working some new guys in. I like to say these teams perceive weaknesses or areas they have to prove themselves because of some youth. They mirror each other. And the things that you expect to be strengths, they mirror each other as well. That ties back into the whole idea of a coin flip game. But it remains to be seen because, you know, Iowa State, I feel like, has got a lot to prove, particularly as we've talked about ad nauseam already here, the special teams and offensive improvements required in order to get back on the winning side of things.
Rob, I got to ask about the quarterback situation, having some time to reflect on how it played out last Saturday against UNI and whatever. It doesn't sound like you probably got anything, but maybe reading in between the lines on some things this week, who knows. How do you anticipate the workload to, you know, play itself out at quarterback this Saturday?
Well, as you saw last week, Cole, the workload, you know, was heavily weighted on Rocco, which I don't think should surprise any, Rocco Beck, too, which I don't think should surprise anybody, given he's got a full year within the program, whereas J.J. Cole, highly touted early enrollee, came in, you know, he has a spring, but he doesn't have that full season, spring, summer, fall, that is. But talking to, you know, offensive coordinator Nate Shields and Coach Campbell, I mean, it sounds like they're going to continue to work Cole in. To what extent? I think game flow, how things are going for each quarterback, or for the offense as a whole, or the team as a whole, may dictate, but I've got to expect it'll be heavily weighted toward Rocco again until otherwise, when he goes 10 of 13 for 113 yards, the pair of touchdowns to tight ends. And that's another area of intrigue. I mean, Iowa's got great tight ends. Iowa State thinks it does,
yeah.
But a lot of those guys haven't proven it yet. So so many intriguing matchups in this game. But again, to wrap up, I would expect Rocco to definitely get the lion's share of snaps, but I would be surprised if J.J. didn't at least get a series or two.
I don't want to sound like a broken record here, Rob, but we had had our discussion last week breaking down you and I, Iowa State, and arrived at, okay, it's John Haycock against Theo Day and you and I offensive coordinator Bodie Reeder. John Haycock, he's got that pelt on his wall now. I feel like this week is hardly any different. It's John Haycock against Brian Ferentz and that Iowa offense led by Cade McNamara. And in saying that, just like last week, first team to 140 yards rushing wins this game because of what it'll do to set up the rest of their offense.
Yeah, maybe even 120. I think it was 128 for Iowa State last year. Cyclones defense held Iowa below 100 yards for the second straight season. And
yeah,
speaking of weird ways to lose, Iowa, got 20 points off turnovers the previous season to win 27-17 despite being outgained similarly to last year, almost 2-1. Last year it was over 2-1. So a lot of crazy things can happen, but Coach Haycock has proven that he can really stymie some of the nation's most high-flying or high-octane offenses.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa has not been that. Last season, it was not that against Utah State, despite early success. Does that change? I find it hard to believe that it will. Again, an Iowa State defense that has been this good for that long. But
yep.
That's why this game is so much fun, because Iowa's got playmakers. You know, they hit on a big play. Schematically, they find something. Takes long to adjust. Things could happen, but again, back to it, I can't imagine this being anything but a one-possession game.
Rob, great stuff as always. A pleasure to talk to you. We'll be following along with your coverage on X tomorrow at Rob W. Gray, and we'll read your story afterwards at thegazette.com. Thanks.
Hey, thanks so much, Cole. Take care, my man.
Take care. Have a great weekend, Rob.
Thanks, you too.
Rob Gray, Cedar Rapids Gazette, kind enough to join us on this Friday edition of Cole & Company. Yeah, I mean, obviously, turnovers can change a game. I mean, turnovers do change games. But if you're talking about this matchup between this Iowa team and this Iowa State team, I believe it's a coin flip game. I believe the first team to 135, 140 yards rushing with what that'll do to set up their pass game with the play action. And both secondaries are great, right? So then which defensive line creates more pressure? Sets the edges better. I think that's where this game is going to be won and lost. Now, it can all turn on its head, as we've seen in previous years, because one of these teams are giving the ball away. But that's where I'm at. So if you have any thoughts, by all means, dial me up, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or 800-913-9479, or send me an email, cole@1650thefan.com. All right, before we take, I'll tell you what, we'll save that for later. We'll take this next time out. We'll get you Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. Come back on the other side, and Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast will join us. We'll talk a little bit of this and that, all things football, NFL week one, college football games to watch in week two. We'll talk a little bit, pick Logan's brain about Iowa State, Iowa, you and I, Weber State, and make our picks of the weekend. That is all next, right here on a Football Friday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
This Radio Iowa Sports Report is brought to you by Your Life Iowa. Free support 24/7 at yourlifeiowa.org.
Good afternoon, I'm Todd Kim. Iowa State hosts Iowa tomorrow in the 70th meeting of the series in Ames. The Cyclones are looking for two in a row. They beat the Hawkeyes a year ago 10-7 in Kinnick Stadium in a series in which mistakes and turnovers have played a huge role in the outcomes.
I think that makes it a unique challenge, and also it certainly makes you be ready to be fundamentally sound and be disciplined. And, you know, there's times we've been able to do that, and there's times we've not. And so, you know, I think that's the uniqueness a little bit of such a big football game, such an early part of the season.
That's Iowa State coach Matt Campbell. The Cyclones will be in search of their first home victory in the series since back back in 2011. Iowa leads the all-time series by a 46-23 margin. It's a 2:30 kickoff in Jack Trice Stadium. This is Radio Iowa.
Hi, this is Hawkeye coach Kirk Ferentz. My players know that success is not a given. There will be challenges, but with hard work, there are no limits. And that's true no matter what field you're on. With less than 5% of Iowans making a living off the land, the Iowa Hawkeyes are proud to celebrate Iowa's hardworking farm families. Ordinary people with extraordinary determination and strong dedication to bring in our nation food, fuel, and fiber that we all depend on while protecting our land and water. Farmers are the backbone of this country. That's why our players are proud to wear the ANF logo on their helmets. It serves as a reminder to all of us that America needs farmers. Join the Hawkeyes and the Iowa Farm Bureau as we celebrate America's farmers during ANF Game Day on October 21st. You could win the ultimate ANF fan package, 4 reserve seats, sideline access, and an autographed football. To register, visit AmericaNeedsFarmers.org.
What does it mean to be bold? To me, being bold means to dream bigger, live better, and make an impact. I'm Dr. Jared Smith, Superintendent of Schools for the Waterloo Community School District, where we're gearing up for another awesome and enriching school year. With over 10,000 students across 21 campuses, our district remains one of the largest in the state of Iowa. We use our 21st century curriculum to teach our students to be bold, and we couldn't do any of this without the strong, ongoing support of our parents, teachers, staff, administrators, local businesses, and city officials. Thank you all for everything you do to support the Waterloo Community School District, with the ultimate objective of helping each student in the district to be bold and achieve their goals. Learn more about how we provide educational opportunities for every student at waterlooschools.org.
The Waterloo Community School District, where the future is now.
Your local one-hour heating and air conditioning knows how miserable it feels when your AC goes out. You want it fixed fast, fixed right, and get a fast quote. Unlike some companies, we don't give you a quote until we actually see what the problem is. Then we'll give you our straightforward price and always stand by our work. Right now, get savings on any AC repair. Call 855-1-HOUR.
Your comfort is just a call away. Call 1-HOUR.
Terms and conditions may apply. Call for details. Independently owned and operated. Licensed in the respective state or county.
If you need a garage, you need action.
Hi there, Troy with Action Garage Builders. Whether you're looking to build that new garage you've never had or replace that old existing garage, call Action Garage Builders. We can tear down existing garages, install new concrete, and build your new garage utilizing maintenance-free siding, vinyl windows, insulated steel doors, and more. Give us a call at 232-1477. If you need a garage, you need Action.
Tommy's Express Car Wash in Waterloo offers you a car washing experience like no other. Download the Tommy Club app today, sign up as a member, and get the first 30 days free. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location. Plus, skip the line. Free mat washes and vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash. Fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online, on Facebook, or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo. Tommy's Express Car Wash. It's your time to shine.
Cole and Company on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back. Football Friday edition of the show continues. We're going to talk a little bit of everything right now. Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast joins. Follow him on X at Logan_Blackman. We're going to talk NFL, college football games to watch week 2, make our picks of the weekend, and whatever else we back our way into here. Logan, the NFL season opener last night, the Lions win 21-20 over the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. The fighting Dan Campbell's bit some kneecaps and found a way to win. How about that game last night?
Oh, it was awesome. Everything was perfect for me, like watching the game and seeing like the Lions beat the Chiefs week 1 was just a beautiful feeling. I understand there was no Travis Kelce, no Chris Jones, but still, it still felt good. It still felt good to see the Chiefs struggle week 1. But the only thing that hurt is that I had Jahmyr Gibbs starting.
Ooh.
And, like, ooh, you look at what he was doing last night. Every single time he touched the ball, he'd do something explosive. And then all of a sudden, yeah, we're just going to We're going to sit him on the sideline for a little bit and let David Montgomery run into the back ends of our offensive line the entire time. But, hey, he found the end zone, so it all worked out. But, yeah, Sam Laporta blocking for David Montgomery to get his first touchdown of the season. I did not really have that on my bingo card, Jordan, into that game. But I need Jahmyr Gibbs to eat a little bit more for my fantasy team the rest of the season.
Kadarius Toney obviously taking a lot of heat for that drop ball that ended up going the other way on a pick six. But for as much as it's, you can obviously blame him for being the difference in that loss for the Chiefs, Logan, I swear, I am not here to pile on. I have moved past this man. But Matt Nagy's a big reason calling those plays for the Chiefs last night, why they lost that game, running some of his BS plays like a jet sweep on third and one. I mean, he cannot be without blame.
Yep, that jet sweep was what I just thought of when you were talking about Matt Nagy in this offense. Yeah, it didn't look great. Like, there's no coincidence that Matt Nagy, as the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs and then calling the plays for the Bears, was the two least amount of yards and a half games in NFL history, I believe.
Oh, yeah, huh.
Like, so, now, like, you can have Patrick Mahomes, you can have all the money in the world, but good Lord, that Matt Nagy, man, he loves to ram his head into the door. If it's like, man, if this ain't working, well, guess what? We're going to keep on trying and just hope Patrick pulls something out of his back end of this game. But, yeah, I'm sure it felt, I don't know, I bet you felt a little bit of vindication. Like, man, this guy caused me so much pain for years.
He was a nice guy. Like, he was good with the media, and I appreciate that given what I do for a living. But he just seemed to be one of those dudes where you're like, you got your shot and you're not cut out to be a head coach. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make you a bad dude. But then again, it sure as hell seems like you're a bad play caller because you fired yourself twice when you were with the Bears from being a play caller. And then I feel like Andy Reid wants to, you know, be able to be a bit of a CEO on game day and, delegate a bit. But this is already starting to reek of, like, Andy's going to be like, damn it, I'm going to have to call all these plays.
Yeah, I don't really know what Matt Nagy's bringing to the table anymore, apart from, hey, we know this guy who was here before. Let's keep him here. But, yeah, I would imagine that at some point Andy Reid goes back to the drawing board, like, hey, you know what, Matt? You gave it your best shot against the team that had one of the worst pass defense in the league last year. I understand they had a lot of improvements, like bringing in C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Brian Branch, Jack Campbell made some great plays last night. But, man, it's Matt, come on, man. You got Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. Let's not overthink this here. Let's not run jet sweeps on third. Let's not sprint up to the line to run a jet sweep that loses you 5 yards. Let's not do that. Let's actually establish some sort of a running game and not have Patrick Mahomes be our leading rusher. Like, this is just, it was just an odd game, offensive, like, play calling standpoint from Matt Nagy, and it's got to improve for the, the rest. Obviously, getting, like, Travis Kelce back will be big, but their play calling has got to improve.
All right, my Bears are taking on the Packers Sunday afternoon. Your Bills will go to New Jersey and play the New York Jets on Monday Night Football. I always like pointing that out. But I mean, as far as like week one for our two teams, which I know a lot of people, are going to watch those games, whether or not they're fans, of those teams, those are games that are going to attract a lot of eyeballs. So I don't feel bad talking about them. How do you feel? So let's start with Bears Packers. How are you feeling about that matchup?
I'm very intrigued. This is one of the games I'm most intrigued about this weekend, just because it's Jordan Love's like first game as the full-time starter. Obviously, we've seen him start like one game before when he played the Chiefs a couple years ago, and they shoved his family all the way up to row 500 in Arrowhead when they were there. But this would be a fun game. Bears-Packers is not The Packers-Bears is a great rivalry. And Jordan Love, he's going to need to learn how to get the lingo down, because I think he said the Bears should say he said Happy Father's Day to the Bears or something like that.
Yeah, he screwed that up.
But I think it'll be a fun game. Justin Fields with this new offense, they got DJ Moore coming in. Hopefully the improved offensive line with Darnell Wright coming in as well. Like, it's fun. You got a whole quadrant of running backs back there. So he's got options now, which is something you couldn't say in previous years. But that, it's going to be a really fun. I'm really excited for that Packers-Bears game.
I am cautiously optimistic that my Bears can be a good enough team that after a handful of weeks go by, you're going, Maybe 8 to 10 wins. Like, that's what I'm asking for this season. And if it doesn't happen, I'm not going to be surprised either. But I mean, you got to at least win like 6, or I don't know what the hell is going to happen to my mental health. But nonetheless, Bills at Jets. My impression of this game is what a great Monday night game to start out. I'm very curious to see what Buffalo's run game looks like, given all the work that's been done there with your Bills. But then again, who's not eager to see what this Jets team looks like? Because before getting Aaron Rodgers, you could tell that they had some building blocks a year ago. As much as I don't like the Jets, but I hope your Bills win. But I mean, who the hell knows how this one's going to play out, right?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I'm curious to see how the Jets balance out Breece and Dalvin. I'm sure Breece will get like a little bit of a they'll pull him back a little bit because it'll be his first game back from that injury. But I'm intrigued to see how that one works out. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, Eric Garrett, Wilson, all those guys. But the Bills' run game, let James cook. My dad and I have been saying that since last year. Just let the dude cook, man. I'm really excited to see what he can do this year. A couple of games that he got some extended playing time, he looked really well, really good last year. So I just want to see that continue. We obviously know what the Bills can do in the pass game, but they need to have someone else be a threat in the run game. That's been something that's been a kind of an issue. Like Devin Singletary was serviceable at times, but nothing great. So I want to see them establish some sort, like they brought in Latavius Murray. They got Damian Harrison from New England. They got two new guards, which has been the Bills' biggest problem area on the offensive line since Josh Allen's been there, has been the guards. So I'm expecting I'm expecting a Bills win, but I don't want to sound like I'm overconfident or anything that this is all the same old Jets. Like the Bills lost to the Jets last year with Zach Wilson. So I'm wary of what can happen here. But I'm still confident the Bills could go into New Jersey. There's only one team in New York. They go into New Jersey, and they beat the Jets on Monday. At least that's what I'm hoping for. I don't want to sound too cocky or confident, but I do think they can come away with a win.
All right, running out of time here with Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast, Football Friday edition of Cole & Company. Quick, just your thoughts on Iowa State, Iowa tomorrow, and your pick.
It's going to be a fun 42-40 game. It's going to be offense galore. It's going to be awesome. But I don't think we'll get the same 10-7 game last year, but I don't expect them to like cover the spread or anything. So I'm gonna say Iowa wins. I'm a little less confident going into this game than I was about a week ago, but I still think Iowa can come through the dub. I'm interested to see how Cade McNamara's quad is in this game. He obviously tweaked it in that Utah State game, but yeah. I'm going to go Iowa 21-13 in this game.
Okay, so you've got Iowa covering the 3.5-point spread. I have Iowa picked as part of my picks of the weekend, covering a 3.5-point spread at Iowa State. But I've been saying this week on the show, given what we do know, which isn't a lot, that this game just feels like another coin flip game. Like, short of either team, you know, giving the ball away multiple times, it feels like it should be another classic, closely contested Cy-Hawk game. How about you and I, Weber State? I've talked plenty about it this week and my thoughts. I'm curious to get your thoughts on Theo Day now going up against another FCS team, albeit a good one, in the 12th-ranked Wildcats. But inside the friendly confines of the Unidome, how do you think Theo and the Panthers, maybe they don't. What do you think in terms of a bounce back?
I think the offensive line definitely needs to, you know, improve from last game. And I think Theo kind of got in his own head to a certain extent, started to force a little bit more. So he's got that absolute pose of an arm. And when he started to get a little flustered, he tried to force it a little bit. We saw him throw that second interception in the game. But things started clicking in the second half a little bit more for him. I just want to see that continue going into this game. Weber State, obviously, not an easy team. They lost a few key starters in the secondary. They lost a bunch of people to BYU, which is so odd. Like I didn't expect them all to go to BYU, but that's where they're going. But they still got one of the best corners in the FCS as well. Their pass defense is solid. But being the Unidome will be big, and I think you and I should be able to right the ship. And maybe not win, but put forth a better performance than what we saw against Iowa State.
All right, picks of the weekend real quick. I'll give you the three I have left. I already gave you Iowa covering the 3.5-point spread at Iowa State tomorrow. I think Baylor, with their backs against the wall, Logan, after losing to Texas State, fighting for their season's life, get the job done at home against a good Utah team that beat Florida, but did Florida lose that game or did Utah win it? I think Florida kind of more so lost that game, which emboldens me to take the home dog when you're getting the touchdown and the hook. I got the Baylor Bears -7.5 against Utah, and or +7.5 against Utah. And then Colorado, of course, I'm going to bet this game. Coach Prime and Colorado, -3 at home against Nebraska. I think this game will be tougher. I think Nebraska's defense will offer a better challenge than TCU's, but I don't know if Nebraska can hang as long as they're going to need to hang with that Colorado offense. It looks like it might be able to become a juggernaut this season. And then Texas State, who I mentioned already, that had beat down Baylor last week, I like them to continue their momentum. They're getting 14 points at a good UTSA team. I got respect for the Roadrunners, but, man, that was such a big win for their first-year coach, Texas State, last week. I think they will, at very least, be able to cover getting 14 points at UTSA.
Texas State and Colorado got special place in my NCAA football heart, so I respect you picking them in these games. But I went with Ole Miss versus Tulane. I like Michael Pratt a lot from Tulane. He had a very nice week against South Alabama. I'm going to go with Tulane covering the 7-point spread. It's at home, so I'm going to have them covering there. Appalachian State at North Carolina. This is a game that finished 63-61 last year or something like that. Like,
wow.
Appalachian State being 19-point dogs, I think, is a little overzealous. I think they'll lose, but I think 19's a little much going into this game. Yes, it's in Chapel Hill. Yes, it'll be a night game, but I'm going to take the Mountaineers covering. And then the final game, Wisconsin at Washington State. I really like Cameron Ward, the quarterback for Washington State. In Pullman at night will be a tough place to play. I'm going to go with another dog. I'm going to go Washington State covering the 6 against the Badges on Saturday.
There you have it, folks. Great stuff, Logan. I got to run. Have a good weekend.
Yes, sir. You too.
I'm Colleen Wolfe with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Lions shocked the Chiefs 21-20 on opening night in Kansas City. Jared Goff threw for 253 yards and a score. Lions rookie defensive back Brian Branch picked off a Patrick Mahomes pass and returned it 50 yards for a touchdown in his NFL debut. Mahomes had 2 first-half passing touchdowns, but Kansas City was held out of the end zone in the second half. The Chiefs were without tight end Travis Kelce, who suffered a bone bruise in his knee during practice this week. Meanwhile, holdout defensive lineman Chris Jones was on hand in a suite as he awaits a new deal. In other news, Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow agreed to a new 5-year, $275 million contract, according to NFL insider Ian Rappaport. With the deal, the 26-year-old becomes the highest-paid player in NFL history. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Fall is here, and there is something for everyone at the Family YMCA. Register now for youth dance and flag football. Swim lessons begin at the end of the month. Before and after school programs are ramping up. Taekwondo is available for all ages and abilities. 40-plus fitness classes per week to meet your athletic level. Free wellness orientations to get you started in the right direction. The Family YMCA, strengthening the foundations of our community.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The Detroit Lions were heavily criticized for their approach to the NFL draft. To start, Detroit took 4 of the more devalued positions in all of football. Running back and linebacker in round 1, a tight end and a safety in round 2. But after all the heat GM Brad Holmes and head coach Dan Campbell faced for their decisions, Detroit was finally able to prove the doubters all wrong last night, at least for one game. Jahmyr Gibbs accounted for over 50 yards of offense and looked like one of the league's more dangerous home run threats. Fellow first-round pick Jack Campbell had a massive pass breakup and eventually helped force a pick 6 from rookie safety Brian Branch. And second-round pick Sam Laporta caught 5 balls, with the majority helping the Lions move the sticks. One game doesn't define an entire draft class. The team still has 16 more games to be played. But after taking a beatdown for their draft strategy in April, taking down defending champs at home, certainly an impressive start. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise.
The NFL is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving you a can't-miss offer for Week 1. New customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL game. Plus, all customers can take advantage of 2 new offers every single game day in September. New customers, make sure you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use the code Patrick, and take home $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code Patrick, only on DraftKings Sportsbook.
Gambling problem? problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See dkng.co/football for eligibility, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
Now, back to more Cole and Company on the Cedar Valley Sports Leader, 1650 The Fan.
They return some really good players in the backfield. In Smith, their quarterback, and Porter, their tailback. Those kids are really, really good athletes. They got a big 6'5 tight end that's really dangerous. And their receiver, number two, has over 100 yards receiving and a couple touchdowns. So it's a dynamic offense that Coach Pizzetti's, and I say multiple because their co-head coaches, Jerry and Ryan Pizzetti, have been there for a long time. And I mean, they're going to have a very talented football team. We're going to have to go down there and play.
That's Cedar Falls High School football coach Brad Remmert with his scouting report on tonight's opponent, Tigers on the road taking on Ankeny Centennial. You can hear that game over on Cruising KCFI, 1250 AM, 105.1 FM, on the Cruising KCFI app, KCFIRadio.com stream, or tell your smart speaker to play Cruising KCFI. Pregame coverage with Dave Finnegan begins around 7, kickoff at 7:30. All right, have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the football. I'll be back here to talk to you all about it on Monday at 5.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.